Messers, oh, young people, where you see in the top where it says Messers, M-E-S-S-R-S, it's the plural for Mr. Messers, desires awake and wet eyes, went the second time to deliver Mansoul's third petition to Prince Emmanuel. The noble prince said he would consider their requests. Desires awake and wet eyes delivered the prince's message and were confronted by old inquisitive who asked the petitioners if they had told every whit of what Emmanuel said, and they answered, verily, no. Then Inquisitive said, I thought so indeed. Pray, what more did he say to you? They paused a while, but at last they revealed everything, saying, the prince commanded us to request Captain Boanerges and Captain Conviction to bring the prisoners down to him tomorrow, and that Captain Judgment and Captain Execution should take charge of the castle and the town until they should hear further from him. They said also that when the prince had commanded them to do so, he immediately turned his back upon them and went into his royal pavilion. But oh, how this response, and especially this last clause of it, that the prisoners must go out to the prince into the camp, and made all their loins tremble continually. For this reason, they cried aloud with one voice that reached up to the heavens. This done, each of the three prepared himself to die. The recorder said to them, this was the thing that I feared. Remember, the recorder is the conscience. For they concluded that tomorrow, by sundown, they should be tumbled out of the world. The whole town also counted of no other, but that, in their time and order, they must all drink of the same cup. Therefore, the town of Mansoul spent that night in mourning, with sackcloth and ashes. The prisoners also, when the time had come for them to go down before the prince, dressed themselves in mourning attire, with ropes upon their heads. The whole town of Mansoul also showed up upon the wall, all clad in mourning weeds, if, perhaps, the sight of them might move the prince with compassion. But oh, how the busybodies in the town of Mansoul made a fuss and commotion. They ran here and there through the streets of the town by companies, crying out as they ran in tumultuous wise, one after one manner, and another the quite contrary, to the almost utter distraction of Mansoul. Well, the time had come for the prisoners to go down to the camp and appear before the prince, and they went down in this manner. Captain Boanerges went with a guard before them, and Captain Conviction followed behind, with a guard in the rear. The prisoners were bound in chains between the two captains. The guard behind and before marched gloriously with colors flying. The prisoners went with drooping spirits. Or, more particularly thus, the prisoners went down, all of them, in mourning, having put ropes upon themselves. They smote their breasts, but dared not lift up their eyes to heaven. Thus they went out of Mansoul's gate until they came into the midst of the prince's army, the sight and glory of which greatly heightened their affliction. They could forbear no longer and cried aloud, O unhappy men, O wretched men of Mansoul! The rattle of their chains, mixing with the sorrowful notes of the prisoners, cries made the noise more lamentable. So when they had come to the door of the prince's pavilion, they cast themselves prostrate upon the place. Then one went in and told his lord that the prisoners had come down. The prince then ascended a throne of state and sent for the prisoners, who, when they came, trembled before him, while they also covered their faces with shame. Now, as they drew near to the place where he sat, they drew themselves down before him. Then said the prince to the captain Boanerges, bid the prisoners stand upon their feet. And when they stood, trembling before him, the prince said, are you the men that heretofore were servants of Shaddai? They said, yes, Lord, yes. Then said the prince again, are you the men who allowed yourselves to be corrupted and defiled by that abominable one, Diabolus? They answered, we did more than allow it, Lord, for we chose it of our own mind. The prince asked further, could you have been content that your slavery should have continued under his tyranny as long as you had lived? Then the prisoners answered, yes, Lord, yes. For his ways were pleasing to our flesh, and a better state had grown foreign to us. And did you, said Emmanuel, heartily wish that I might not have the victory over you when I came up against this town of Mansoul? Yes, Lord. Yes, they confessed. Then the prince said, what punishment do you think you deserve at my hand for these and other high and mighty sins of yours? They said, both death and the deep, Lord, for we deserve no less. Emmanuel asked again if they had anything to say for themselves, bless you, concerning the sentence which they confessed they deserved, as to why it should not be passed upon them. They said, we can say nothing, Lord. You are just, for we have sinned. Then asked the prince, and why are those ropes on your heads? The prisoners answered, these ropes are to bind us to the place of execution, if mercy is not pleasing in your sight. So he further asked if all the men in the town of Mansoul were of like-minded confession as they. They answered, all the natives, Lord. But as for the Diabolonians, who came into our town when the tyrant got possession of us, we can say nothing for them. Then the prince commanded that a herald should be called, and that with the sound of a trumpet, he should proclaim in the midst and throughout Emmanuel's camp that the prince, the son of Shaddai, had, in his father's name and for his father's glory, gotten a perfect conquest and victory over Mansoul, and that the prisoners should follow him and say, amen. So this was done as he had commanded, and immediately the music in the upper region sounded melodiously. The captains who were in the camp shouted, and the soldiers sang songs of triumph to the prince. The colors waved in the wind, and great joy was everywhere, only it was lacking as yet in the hearts of the men of Mansoul. Then the prince called for the prisoners to come and to stand again before him, and they came and stood trembling. To be continued. Dun, dun. Yeah. Well, a couple things you'll notice that I did mention part of this in this morning's message when I said that, you know, true repentance as desires awake and wet eyes had come before the prince. And then the prisoners who were brought before the prince, Captain Boanerges, who represents the thunder of the gospel, went before, and Captain Conviction followed. And there they were in true repentance with their heads stooped, stooping in, how did it go, drooping spirits. But it also, now, as we can see, they're on the verge of being mercifully released by Prince Emmanuel, but Mansoul itself was lacking in that. In other words, now that Diabolus has been cast out, and now mercy has been tendered to the prisoners, the Lord Mayor and so forth, these prisoners have received the Lord Jesus's mercy. They have confessed that they were sinners and deserving of the deep. They're confess that they're deserving of nothing less than hell and death. And now the prince has mercy upon them. However, Mansoul would not receive that mercy. It was lacking in them until the prince abides in the city. That does take place, and it does take place in every salvation, but Bunyan seems to capture the picture here of the separation of what's going on. It happens for us basically instantaneously. The Lord Jesus enters our heart when true repentance comes forth. So it's getting pretty exciting. I'll tell you, when I was rereading this to see the mistakes that might be in it and the typos and correcting it and all, I was nearly in tears. In fact, I think I was in tears a couple moments seeing how this is playing out. I really love, you know, the Pilgrim's Progress and the Holy War as allegories. Bunyan just has a way with the truth of God's word and putting it into pictures that are just, for me, I don't know. I love them. I hope I'm putting it into modern English. I hope I'm conveying some of these illustrations to you just a little bit. Spurgeon loved them. And because Spurgeon loved them, I love Spurgeon.